Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What we can look forward to January, February, and March, perhaps, is the actual release of this vaccine, which I think we'll finally give everybody some peace of mind and maybe save a lot of lives. Dr. Mary Schmidt is with Schmidt and Libby, a medical consulting, and she's an associate professor at VCU. And she's been with us several times during the height of the pandemic crisis here. And Dr. Schmidt, I appreciate you coming on. What do you make of where things are right now with the three different vaccines that we're told are about to enter the market?
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So it's delightful to find out for you all in the media that a lot of us are getting our information from press release.
Okay.
And so we probably know about the same thing. But
yeah.
What I've learned, at least for those of us who reside in Virginia, that there's active practice occurring, and there's a distribution plan for the Pfizer vaccines. So they're preparing trucks for freezers, acute rollout to hospital and first-line healthcare workers, frontline people. And so I believe the state of Virginia is very ready for that first phase. But I am concerned about the rest to come.
Yeah. Do you feel safe about this, even though this thing has, I mean, it's rushed, which we're cheering on the one hand, but then in the back of my mind, I'm like, wait a minute, are we sure that we know what impact this is going to have in another year, in 2 years, in 3 years? Is this thing safe, you think?
So we have, if we look at the two vaccines that are produced the same way, both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine that are in the plan for the Virginia rollout, you know, they're the same vaccine, they're going to have the same safety profiles, and they look very similar, except for local reactions, similar to what you can get with any vaccine. So, and we're looking at, almost 100,000 people that are in these trials, so... But we certainly will be getting a lot more experience. And in that regard, there is a national database that will be collecting data for side effects, and it'll be on a national level, so the numbers will be huge. And any concern will be noted immediately to the public.
Yeah. All right, so we get the frontline health workers vaccinated, presumably people like my parents who are in their late 70s with their own health problems. I think they want to take it so that they can avoid catching COVID. And even if something were to happen 10 years down the road, I'm not sure they're banking on being here in another 10 years. You know, no offense, Mark, but I think we're all thinking that. What is it that worries you or kind of draws a flag for you about the rest of the population, whether we can get it to people like me who are 49 and younger, or what do you think?
Well, certainly the healthy under 65 are going to be coming much later.
Yeah.
And we have some practice. In fact, the data that we have out kind of pre-CDC decisions, which the CDC is meeting today to just make kind of really stratify in the U.S., And for instance, in England, they've stratified by decade, so 80 plus first, 70 plus next, 60 plus after that, and then start looking at people with chronic diseases. So there's a nice stratification already that's available for what is considered, what chronic diseases are tiered higher than others. But I think for most people that have Medicare, having access to a physician and being able to get it is going to be readily available. I do see words like tents, kits, and vaccine cards on the Virginia Department of Health website for communities that might have difficulty with access to a primary care physician, and to make it easy for certain areas where access to health care could be a problem. Certainly pharmacies are going to have the vaccine. Not every health care provider, but they will refer somebody to how, you know, where they might get it. With the Pfizer vaccine having significant deep freeze requirements, I think those will first go to hospitals because it's easy for them to be able to handle that kind of processing. And some will be going to pharmacies too, probably. But I'm thinking that most of us that are healthy and younger may be getting the Moderna vaccine that doesn't have quite that deep freeze requirement. Right,
Will you touch on this a little bit? And I don't want to put you on the spot. And I really am curious. I'm not setting you up or anybody else who comes on the show when I ask a question that has kind of political overtones. The Times Dispatch ran this story saying black residents in Richmond, and this is concerning, are being hospitalized with COVID-19 at more than five times the rate of white residents, according to data. Why is that? You mention access to primary health care, and that's certainly a concern, whether we're talking about COVID or just, you know, getting your annual checkup. But is there something else going on here that I'm missing?
I think it'll make sense when people understand that studies have shown that certain populations, and this includes the Latino population as well in certain areas of our state, so are less likely to have job-based insurance. So if you don't have the money to pay for health care, you're not going to get it. No regular doctor, so lack of preventive services. And you're kind of going to the ER, you're going to the urgent care for, you know, acute issues, but you really aren't taking care of your primary health issues, which then increases the risk of chronic disease problems like diabetes, hypertension. And the other thing that can happen, which may be, when you have an African American person dealing with someone that could be, you know, somebody white, they may be a little bit more uncomfortable asking questions. And then there's language barriers. And we also, you know, we have to remember we also have a reservation, a First Nation reservation in the state of Virginia. So what kind of health care is occurring there, and do they have the same kind of issues with these problems?
So the supposition here is that because of a lack of access to the initial health care, primary care, that more African Americans and Latinos in the Richmond community start out on day one, even before the virus shows up, with underlying health conditions. That makes them more susceptible to the virus really knocking them out, putting them in the hospital, or killing them. Is that the...
Or even delayed care. So most of us know now that, you know, the monoclonal antibody is really designated for people who don't have symptoms. So you have to know this and feel comfortable and have a connection that'll say, well, I'm at high risk and I just had a COVID exposure. I need to get tested and I could get this monoclonal antibody. If you're not in that communication loop, you're going to miss out on protection, or you may not even feel comfortable going for screening and being aware. So with the vaccine, from my standpoint, one of the most important rollout is going to be the trust issue, accessibility and trust with the things that have been designated. The components of this are transparency, you know, not to you know, to be really clear about the side effects and getting that second dose and the communication style. How are you going to message this? And community involvement. And I would encourage people in these, if you're interested in helping, I can tell you the county and the city health departments are going to need community liaison people who are interested in rolling out this message to their communities.
Interesting. Okay. Well, you're always very good at explaining things. I do appreciate it whenever you come on. And, you know, we've got a problem here because we've spent 20 years telling everybody the government is evil and talking about smallpox blankets with the Indians. And now we're about to say, oh, but right now you can trust us, come and get injected. And, I mean, even somebody like me who's worked in government, I mean, I'm going to get it, I guess. But I'm a little leery, like 10% leery. So I don't know. But you know what?
I appreciate that's good.
It's good. Yeah, I'm just not going to let you stick me. So, okay. Dr. Mary Schmidt from Schmidt & Libby Medical and Associate Professor at VCU. Thanks for coming on always. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.